Good evening and welcome to this year's Treasure Coast Legislative Preview. I'm Jill Roberts. We'll be speaking this evening with Treasure Coast legislators about their priorities for the just starting legislative session. We'll chat with State Senator Joe Negron and Representatives Debbie Mayfield, Gail Harrell, Larry Lee, and Carrie Pigman. We did invite all of our legislators to join us. Our first guest this evening is State Senator Joe Negron, a Republican of Stewart. His proposal to lower car registration fees has received a lot of attention.
In 2009, the legislature raised the tag and title fees very significantly during a difficult economic period. Government has a bad habit of raising fees during the bad times, but never then revisiting those fees when times improve. So we're looking at a program to return somewhere between $250 and $400 million of tag and title fees, which will really help small businesses that have fleet of vehicles. Also, will help Florida families as well.
This particular issue has gotten a lot of attention even before the session. Is it your biggest priority?
My number one personal priority for the 2014 session is to fund the recommendations of the Indian River Lagoon Select Committee so that we can store and treat more water south of Lake Okeechobee so that we can reduce the harmful discharges into our community that happened this past summer.
Now, you're on that committee that's taking a look at that particular issue. It's not new, but it is something that has had a renewed urgency in the past year.
What we're going to try to accomplish this session is to have reservoirs where the water can be stored, and then also over a three-year period, but beginning right away, to raise the Tamiami Trail to do bridging over the Tamiami Trail about 2.5 miles, so that water can flow south from the lake out to Florida Bay. The way it is now, there isn't a way to get water under that roadway that was built many years ago. So we're going to be working to bridge that part of that of the Tamiami Trail so that water can flow south.
That's something that's been given a lot of attention in this area and is very important to people on the Treasure Coast and people on the southwest part of the state also. But what about the rest of the state? Is there support for a fix to this statewide?
The reality is that we're in a competition, and there will always be more demands on the state budget than we have in available revenue. And unlike Washington, we can't print money. We can't borrow money from foreign governments. We have to live within the revenues that we have. So I have the burden of proof to show to the rest of the state that the $220 million that has been recommended in spending over a three-year period in the Lagoon Select Committee, that merits the state's attention. And that will be a difficult challenge, but it's one that I'm prepared to take on, and I think we'll be successful.
Now, certainly the lagoon has a lot to do with our local tourism, but you say tourism as a whole in the state is going well.
I think this could be the year we go over 100 million tourists. In 2013, we had 96 million tourists and visit the state of Florida, so we're setting a goal as a state to get to 100 million in 2014, and we'll work with our tourism officials to make sure that everyone around the world knows how great Florida is and how much we appreciate them coming to visit our state.
What are some of the other priorities you've set for this session?
One thing that I want to look at is our universities in Florida, our public universities, have made a lot of improvements over the past couple decades, but I think they can even be better. And money's not all of that, but it is a part of it. And so I'm working to have some increased funding to our state universities so that they can retain and recruit the best professors, so that we can keep as many national merit scholars in Florida as we can, or at least have competitive offers for them to consider Florida schools. And then another issue that I'm monitoring closely has to do with our springs. I remember jumping into Silver Springs with our floaters that we had, and being shocked at how cold the water was, because if you grew up in West Palm Beach and Stewart and this area as I did, I didn't know there was that cold of water in Florida. But you never forget the first time you are on a spring and you can see all the way to the bottom. Some of those springs are in need of reclamation and treatment, and so I think that'll be another issue that we'll at least start on.
We spoke first with State Senator Joe Negron of Stewart. He is chair of the Appropriations Committee this year and sits on the Banking and Insurance Committee, as well as the Joint Legislative Budget Commission. We go next to State Representative Gail Harrell, a Republican of Stewart. She agrees with Senator Negron that water issues will be a highlight of the session.
My number one issue is passing my memorial dealing with the Indian River Lagoon and the Comprehensive Everglades Restoration Plan, and that's HM607. And that is an extremely important issue for me. Of course, it's so important to our local community. So I'm working very hard on that to get that passed.
And I see you're chairman of the Healthy Families Committee.
It's a big responsibility because we have had quite a few child deaths in the state of Florida of children who were under, in some way, haven't come to the attention of the Department of Children and Families. So we're going to do some comprehensive legislation as a committee bill coming out of my committee dealing with doing some significant things in child protective investigations, in services that are needed for children who may not be in imminent danger and have to be removed from their homes, but there's so many risk factors in play that the children need and the families need some comprehensive services.
Now, you have a bill that deals with indecent exposure that you say grew out of a local case.
In Port St. Lucie, where the Port St. Lucie Police Department came to me and said, "We've really got a problem with some very, very disturbed people knocking on people's sliding glass doors, especially older women. And when they open the curtains or open the verticals or open the door, the sliding glass door, they expose themselves."
Harrell also points to a case in Palm Beach County where a man exposed himself to children in the children's section of a bookstore. When customers held the person, he wasn't arrested because the offense is a misdemeanor and the officer hadn't witnessed the act.
And we allow for police to arrest someone without having seen them if they have probable cause in other situations, such as graffiti on walls. Why would we not allow the police to arrest someone for indecent exposure of that, especially of that magnitude in front of children, just because he hadn't seen it himself? If he has probable cause, he should be able to arrest him. So we're cleaning that little bit of tweak up, and also for multiple incidents where you've been arrested several times, we're escalating the penalty to a third-degree felony.
Harrell is also addressing sexual predators with legislation aimed at tightening some loopholes in the Jimmy Rice Act, which allows some predators to remain incarcerated even after their sentence is finished. Harrell says it's inspired by the case of Cherish Periwinkle, who was kidnapped from a Jacksonville Walmart and killed.
My legislation on sexual predators is within the bills on the criminal justice side. My committee that's taking us up to the Adam Walsh standards and doing a lot to really toughen our laws on sexual predators and make sure that they are identified, things like they have to register their passports or their internet monikers, what they use on the internet, those kinds of things. We're really beefing that up. But also on the civil commitment side, we're making sure that the multidisciplinary team that does the evaluations is appropriately trained, that there are standards there, that the evaluators are under contract and they are appropriately evaluated. And we're following this very closely to see what the recidivism rates are and when and if and when these people get out of the Civil Commitment Center, what happens to them.
In another local case, you've got legislation about charter schools and parental notifications. In this particular case, it was inspired by the Baker Act of a Child.
I had a constituent come and with what I thought was just an incredible situation. His daughter was Baker Acted in school and was taken to a receiving facility, and he was never notified. And he, you know, that should never happen. So we are looking very closely at our statutes, and we're going to require all schools and charter schools that we have purview over to make sure that a parent is notified as soon as possible within a very reasonable amount of time that their child has been removed from campus.
Well, this particular case was inspired by a charter school in St. Lucie County. Harold says some public schools don't have a parental notification policy in place either. State Representative Gail Harrell chairs the Healthy Family Subcommittee and is vice chair of the Government Operations Appropriations Subcommittee. She's also on the Health and Human Services Committee. We're going next to the Lone Democrat to be a part of our interviews, State Representative Larry Lee Jr. of Fort Pierce. He's reintroducing a bill we first talked about last year, the Literacy Jumpstart Pilot Program, which provides for reading programs in low-income neighborhoods.
It's a great bill. Statistics show that if a child is not reading on third grade level, by the time they complete the third grade, their chances of not completing school increases dramatically, and also law enforcement even use those test scores to determine how many beds they will need in the future, which is kind of sad. So we feel that reading is the key to turning around a lot of the poverty that we have, and so this bill will go a long way in helping us with that.
And this is a pilot project that would be located solely in St. Lucie County.
Yes, and that's the unique thing about it. It's a pilot program. And it's just for St. Lucie County. It's only about a $500,000 request that we're making. It's about $100,000 a year. We have an organization called the Parent Academy that's headed by Nancy Brown, and we have a team in place to operate it. The housing authority's on board. We're going to put it in one of the most disadvantaged areas of the county, and we're going for some of the most underserved. And if it works there, it'll work anywhere. So we feel very confident about it, but it's unique to St. Lucie County, and all eyes will be on us if we get this passed.
And you have another bill that deals with the issue of food deserts.
Food deserts are areas, and there are many times they're in disadvantaged areas where you find the lack of various healthy foods, fruits and vegetables. And we have several areas in our county where the elderly in particular may not have transportation to get to the supermarket to buy fresh fruits and vegetables. So this bill, and they call these areas food deserts because they don't have healthy foods in those areas. So this bill will encourage supermarkets and markets to come into those areas, and we give them a tax break if they bill in those areas. And they must buy their fruit. The supermarket must buy their fruit and vegetables from local Florida-grown fruit and vegetable growers. So what it does there, it also helps our local agricultural economy.
Now, I see you have a bill here that deals with dismissed petitions for protective injunctions for repeat violence. What does that deal with?
Yes, well, that was brought to me by a local constituent, and they had a situation which was pretty unique. And someone filed a report that they threatened their life, and it was unfounded, but it went into that person's public, into that person's record, and the judge basically threw it out. But it's on that person's record. Now, they had no way of knowing that was on their record, but they applied to do volunteer work in the school, and they kept getting turned down. They didn't know why. And come to find out, what happened was it was in their record that they had they were violent. That's one of those situations that has fallen through the crack, and I really wish that we could get this one. Unfortunately, I haven't been able to find someone over in the Senate, so that's one that we may have to tackle during next session.
And, of course, I'm sure that the health of the Indian River Lagoon is on your radar as we head into this session as well.
Yes, let me tell you a story, if you got a minute, about that. I went up there last year as a freshman legislator, and environment has, you know, I lived around all this water all my life, but never really paid that much attention to the Indian River Lagoon and knew much about it. But I got a quick lesson up there when I voted on a bill that I should have done a little bit more research on. And after I did that, I decided to make sure that that would never happen again. I called some of our area's best minds together. There's about 14 of them. And what they do is they keep their eyes and their hand on the pulse of what's going on with that lagoon. If a bill or some issue come up, they alert me.
St. Lucie County hasn't seen quite the problems that they've seen in, say, Martin County, but there are issues there as well.
We have a record number of manatee dying, dolphins. So it's not just the vegetation in our water, seagrass, but it was also some of the animals. Some of the fish had lesions on them. So, it's something that we need to pay very close attention.
As we mentioned, State Representative Larry Lee is the lone Democrat on the Treasure Coast Legislative Delegation. He's on the Agriculture and Natural Resources Subcommittee, the Education Appropriations Subcommittee, and the Regulatory Affairs Committee. Our next guest is State Representative Kerry Pigman, a Republican of Avon Park. He's a doctor, so it's not surprising that many of his bills deal with medical issues. And while his district encompasses Okeechobee and western St. Lucie County, the issues of the Indian River Lagoon are still familiar to him.
Here in the 55th District, we are the headwaters for the Okeechobee and really the headwaters for the Everglades as well. And we've been very aggressive in this district with agriculture following the voluntary best management practices to make sure that there's a minimum of nutrient runoff. We've also been the beneficiary of the recanalization of the Kissimmee River, which, of course, allows for storage of water before it gets to Lake Okeechobee during the wet season, but also reestablishes that process by which nutrients are removed from the water.
Outside of the lagoon issue, Pigman has introduced a bill aimed at bringing dentists to urban areas of the state.
Yes, this is a small piece of a larger effort of mine, which is healthcare workforce innovation.
Okay.
I'm a rural doctor. The 55th District is a rural district. We have real issues with just access to care. There aren't many healthcare providers in some of my communities here. So what the dental loan forgiveness program is, essentially a similar program to what we have for registered nurses, where if you agree to practice in a rural area, there is partial loan forgiveness contingent on how many years you decide to do that. So what we're doing is trying to incentivize, in this case, dentists, to come to rural areas, to areas of high need, and a set up practice.
Pigman also has a bill he says he's proud to say has bipartisan support. It deals with prenatal care.
We cover, through Healthy Children, children to 200% of the poverty limit, the federal poverty level. But yet, for pregnant women, we only cover them to 185%. So you see how there's the potential now that you could be a pregnant woman who is more than 185% of the poverty level but below 200%, who would not be eligible for prenatal care, but the moment she delivers the baby would be eligible for Medicaid assistance, which is kind of a silly circumstance. So this is an attempt to kind of fix a imbalance that accidentally, no one intended this to happen, but accidentally appeared in statute.
Pigman is also working to tweak recent legislation which created more student nursing slots. He says he's been working with State Senator Denise Grimsley on this effort.
So Senator Grimsley and I are working on just ensuring that these nursing programs meet nationally accepted accreditation standards. So it's kind of a way of not closing down programs, not shutting down programs, but making sure that all the programs available for Florida are educating their students in nursing responsibly and effectively, because the last thing in the world we want is for some poor guy or gal to finish a nursing education with a huge debt and find that he or she's not well prepared to do the profession.
Representative Pigman is also co-sponsor of a bill which takes on another of today's hot-button issues, human trafficking.
Human trafficking both takes the form of labor trafficking, which we would just call slavery for no other reason, which is an issue that has happened in the past in my district. And then there's also sex trade. And this bill attempts, to the degree we can, to increase the penalties, to tighten the noose around those individuals who would participate, who would increase both human trafficking and labor and human trafficking in the sex trades.
During committee weeks, Pigman says he signed on with Representative Larry Ahern on assisted living facility legislation. Pigman then withdrew his own bill, but said he made sure that the parts most important to him were included in Ahern's legislation.
And what Representative Ahern and what I'm interested in bringing is a more efficient utilization of our healthcare professionals. Here's the concept. If you need to be in a nursing home, then that's where you need to be. But if you could be in an assisted living facility with maybe someone helping you with your insulin or helping with your colostomy bag, I'd rather have you in an assisted living facility. It's a more independent place. The patients would prefer it, and it's a less expensive venue for care. Likewise, if you're in an assisted living facility and there's some way we can help you get home with in-home care, that's even better yet. So it's part of a continuum of helping our older or disabled population get the right care in the least obtrusive, least uncomfortable environment.
State Representative Kerry Pigman of Avon Park serves on the Select Committee on Healthcare Workforce Innovation, the Agriculture and Natural Resources Subcommittee, and the Healthy Family Subcommittee. Next to join us on Treasure Coast Legislative Preview is State Representative Debbie Mayfield, a Republican from Vero Beach. She has several bills dealing with utilities, the first being water and wastewater utilities, which would require municipalities to get permission from county officials to provide services in unincorporated areas.
Right now, they don't have to. They can just, if there's not a utility service being provided, let's say it's gas or water sewer, they can just go into that unincorporated area and establish the utility services. And all we're saying is that, well, you have to get approval from the county, because those county residents and the county commissioners represent those county residents, and you should have to go get approval. If you are a municipality going into another municipality, you have to get the approval of that municipality before you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just a fairness to me.
The second part of the bill deals with when a utility franchise agreement expires.
Which is an agreement expires for a reason. Then the county can take back their constituents in that unincorporated area to provide service to them, or ask them if there's a different service provider they would like to use. That's giving representation to the people in the unincorporated area, to the people that they elect and accountable to, or that are accountable to the ratepayers, which is the county commissioners.
She says the bill grew from a private development in the state, which had a private water and sewer system that the developer then sold to a municipality that didn't require the oversight of the Public Service Commission.
No one reviewed the contract except for the people that were going to financially gain from it, being the IOU, the private people that were making money off the sale, and the city of Dinellen, who was going to be making money off those ratepayers. No one else reviewed or approved that contract except for those two entities. So the city, the people that lived in that, I think it was Sweetwater Development, I believe was the name of the group. I mean, they had no representation. There was no one they could go to argue the point that the city overpaid for the system, and the fact that their rate increased something like 300% whenever the city took it over.
Utility situations are familiar to Mayfield. She's also filed a local bill dealing with the City of Vero Beach Power System, which has a majority of its customers living outside the city limits.
That puts the City of Vero Beach utilities for the unincorporated area, those customers, under the Public Service Commission. That's one of the local bills that, you know, that I filed, that, again, that I'll be really pushing to get through.
The Indian River Lagoon is an issue Mayfield says is important, and she's addressing it with a bill on hybrid septic systems, which would allow liquids to be removed by connecting to a sewer system, but solids stay in a septic tank. The system requires smaller pipes and is less expensive.
That is one of the things that will help with these septic tanks that we have on the river. So on the Barrier Island, it's less costly to convert them to this type of hybrid septic system than to completely put in sewer lines on the island. So that's a bill that will help in our Indian River Lagoon initiative of cleaning, or, you know, keeping the river clean.
Mayfield has also filed a bill dealing with Common Core. When it was first filed, public hearings throughout the state had not been scheduled, so a mandate for those was included.
What my bill will do, it would require the public hearing so that they would get complete input from teachers and parents as to their concerns about Common Core. It requires legislatively to pull out of the park assessment testing. It also required for the Department of Education to do a comparison as to our current standards, as to the Common Core standards and other standards that might be available out there, to ensure that we do have the highest standards in the country, mm-hmm. not common standards with everybody else, but higher standards than other people in the U.S.
State Representative Debbie Mayfield chairs the Business and Professional Regulations Subcommittee, is on the Agriculture and Natural Resources Appropriations Subcommittee, and is on the Energy and Utilities Subcommittee. Thank you for joining us for Treasure Coast Legislative Preview. It's a look at what issues are important to our legislators for this year's legislative session. We did invite all of our legislators to join us. Be sure to tune in to 88.9 FM during the session, along with Florida Public Radio. We'll be bringing you the news from Tallahassee. I'm Jill Roberts. Also contributing to the show was Kenrick Thomas.